Stripe is the go-to choice for AI companies, from early-stage startups to scaled enterprises. 78% of the leading AI companies use Stripe to go to market quickly and scale globally. That includes pioneers like NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Perplexity. Stripe has developed cutting-edge tools to improve everything from fraud detection to checkout optimization. Whether you're aiming for incremental gains or planning for enterprise transformation, see how Stripe can help at stripe.com.
The sales are sizzling at Whole Foods Market, just in time for the 4th of July weekend. Fire up the grill with savings on robust no antibiotics ever steaks. And there's more. Look for sales on meaty pork chops, made-in-house salmon burgers, and sustainable wild-caught sockeye salmon fillets. Get it all with same-day delivery or free pickup. Restrictions apply. Shop everything you need for 4th of July and beyond at Whole Foods Market, in-store and online.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Oisín Coughlan is with me, a former director of Friends of the Earth. Richard O'Donoghue as well, who's an independent TD for Limerick, is on the line. And they're here to talk about wind turbines. You might have seen last week a High Court judge ordering that a County Wexford wind farm must fully shut down three of its six turbines, pay a total of $360,000 in damages to a couple over what was described as its adverse impact on them. So Mr Justice Quinn said the plaintiff's expert evidence was that the nuisance was one of the worst cases of wind farm noise impact. Richard, is this something that you hear about from your constituents?
100%. And we had it recently here in Limerick. We had it in Coolcappa, where there was wind farms going to be put in. We have them here in Kilmeedy. Now there's an application gone in Brough in Limerick. And there's massive concerns amongst the public of the government. Number one, not updating the guidelines since 2006. Which Micheál Martin himself sent in the Kenny in 2011 and still hasn't updated them. Simon Harris, we met him last year, and he said he had massive concerns about it as well. And the World Health Organization want the guidelines updated.
So, Richard, what guidelines for people who are nowhere near wind farms and haven't had to deal with this? What guidelines are you talking about?
So for guidelines, so if you're living near a wind farm, the guidelines at the moment the World Health Authority have, one is to 10. That's 1 metre up, 10 metres away. In Ireland, it's 1:4. So for every metre you go up, you're 4 metres away. But the problem they're looking at here is the land base is not here in Ireland for wind farms. That is the basis of it. In Clare today, the county councillors in Clare have put in a motion today to ask the government not to allow any more wind farms until the guidelines are updated to the same guidelines as the World Health Organizations are looking for. That's what they're looking for. 2006. Can you imagine in your radio if the guidelines haven't been upgraded since 2006? This is absolutely, there's a legal obligation for people for health. There's a legal obligation to the councils, the government, to make sure that anyone that's living within the proximity of a wind farm, that their health is imperative. People with schools across the country have the same concerns.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure the right distance from the same guidelines as the World Health Authority. So if the World Health Authority can see this, why can't Ireland?
Oisín Coughlan with us as well, I mentioned. Oisín, is that kind of an accurate description of where we are in terms of the guidelines, that in Ireland you can build turbines closer to people's homes or businesses or schools than you might if these guidelines were in place?
It's not as straightforward as that. The draft guide, I agree with Richard that the guidelines need to be updated. The government has been dragging its heels, but it actually drafted new guidelines, including what Richard described as the regulations now. They drafted them in 2019, but they haven't finalised them. And they should do that because it would give clarity and certainty to communities and to households and indeed to the wind industry itself. So absolutely, that should be done by, it's actually the Minister for Housing and Planning that this comes under, not the Minister for Energy. And they should get on with it and they should do it. But just to be clear, what this case shows actually is that there is redress for people when there is an actual impact on their welfare. Now, it took too long. It shouldn't have taken 7 years. And the judge is very clear about that. But there is redress and they got compensation. They should have. But it's not straightforward. There's actually about 40 households that live closer than this family does to the wind farm and didn't have an impact. This family really did. And the judge was clear that actually it wasn't about the technology. It wasn't wind per se or turbines per se. It was something to do with the landscape and the way the noise did travel and did impact them. And the real problem, he said, was that the company hadn't engaged. They could have engaged. And he said if they had engaged at the beginning, they could have solved this and addressed it in like 12 months to 15 months and it could have been done. They didn't do that properly. And instead, so the people kept going with the court case and rightly have been given compensation. But that's one case. If you think of the amount of wind farms we have, it shows that there is redress. But actually, in most cases, there isn't actually welfare impacts. And let's remember, we're doing this for very good reasons. We either decide to be dependent on dirty, expensive, imported fossil fuels from Russia, Qatar, and God help us nowadays, the US, or cheaper, cleaner, indigenous Irish energy. And actually, I was looking at this before I came in here. The impact of wind on price in Ireland is amazingly positive. So the price, God help us, keeps getting driven by gas still. But on the windiest days in Ireland in January this year, the price was half because of that, whereas it was €125 per megawatt. On the most least windy days when we were relying most on gas, it was €250 per megawatt. So wind is what's reducing the price of electricity for all of us in Ireland today.
If you adopted guidelines that said that for every metre you go up, you have to be 10 metres kind of away from someone or something, would it leave much of the country available for wind farms.
Given how dispersed our population is in Ireland, if the guidelines were like that, there would almost be nowhere left. Even under the current suite of guidelines that are there informally now, but the government hasn't adopted, like they're revised, not the 2006 ones, the 2019 ones, which is 1 to 4. There's actually only about 2% of the country, but when you take into account all of the constraints, 2% that is available. But there is still potential for development, and we need to get on with that because it's cheaper, cleaner, and it's our own. We're not relying on rogue states anywhere in the world.
Richard, would you worry if we adopted the 1 to 10 ratio that we'd effectively be banning wind turbines?
Yeah, and if for a person's health, I would be willing to sacrifice that. And for all the children that are going to be within schools and in those proximities, I would sacrifice that for somebody's health. Everyone that's here is entitled to a night's sleep. But the wind turbines that cause nuisance don't allow for people to have a night's sleep. They're a nuisance. They also affect people for fatigue and everything else. So you could have people driving that are living near wind farms. Their night's sleep is affected. That means that there could be a danger on the road to somebody else.
But Richard, is there evidence of that? When
the Green Party were in government, why did they delay the DMAPs for the west coast of Ireland? 5 years we're asking for the DMAPs to be made available.
I will absolutely ask Oisin about offshore wind development, where we are with that and why it hasn't been quicker. But just like that, that's kind of a big claim to make, that, you know, there are more road traffic accidents happening because people are tired from living near wind farms. Is there anything to back that up?
If you look at it, it's a medical fact that we have people living here in Clonmeady that met Simon Harris. They've shown the problems that they have within their family. They're living on the side of a hill and the wind farms are on the hill. They're like the family in Wexford with the impact. They're at this 4 years, these children. The only time they get a break from this is when they move away and a holiday or go up the country somewhere to their parents' house. They actually don't suffer. They actually get some sleep. Now, the house was there before the wind turbines.
But Richard,
so why should a person's community be affected? Why do you think that so many people are looking at this from, and they have the people that have the experience, scientists have the experience of all wind turbines, and they're only asking that you comply for people's health, 1 to 10 as a minimum.
Richard,
so it's people's health here.
The health is absolutely important, but. And where there is impact, the company should absolutely act to address it and to ameliorate it. But it's just not the case that there's a generalised health impact from wind turbines. That is not the finding across Europe or across the world or at any international level. And indeed, Poland and Germany are actually moving to make it easier to do onshore wind because they're trying to get off Russian gas and all the challenges that is there, making it easier.
But they have the land base. We don't have it.
We're not a densely populated country compared to the Netherlands or Germany, Richard.
Look at the land base that we have. Look, they have a wider density of land base than what we have. They have a wider density of population than we have. You go to any farm in Germany, all those countries you're talking about, they're on 300-400 acre farms. You look at the average farm here is 100 acres. Mm. So when you work that into the same density as Germany, it's absolutely
incorrect. So, Richard, can I ask, is the solution in your mind that we just radically invest in offshore wind farms as the solution, or that we allow Germany and other countries in Europe to invest in wind energy, and then we just buy their electricity through the grid, through those interconnectors?
No, but we need to look at locations in this country if they're available that are suitable to wind turbines. I have no problem with that. Once they meet the criteria of 1 in 10, which is the World Health Organization...
That'll be nowhere, though, on land. So it's offshore you're talking about then, is it?
It's offshore then that they need to look at. And again, they need to be very careful with the offshore as they're doing it, that they don't put them in straight lines. Because now they're looking at... And if you look across the World Series, you can see now that like the whales and things are ending up on beaches where people have actually put up lines of wind turbines in a straight line because the sonar that's coming off them is creating a problem. So they have to be careful how they cluster.
Richard, for a man who's elected for a party called Independent Ireland, you don't seem to want Ireland to be independent when it comes to electricity. We have a massive natural resource.
He just said he's in favour of offshore wind. Well,
but offshore wind...
I'm in favour of saving people's lives.
Offshore wind is going to take a long time.
As a person that's elected for Independent Ireland, as a person that was the former person that started up this party with Michael Collins, is the one reason why we're standing up is because we have people that are making decisions for this country that are putting people's health at risk. Are you living near a wind farm? Where are you living?
I happen to live in the city, Richard, but the evidence...
Exactly. We have city people that are trying to make decisions for people, and when it doesn't impact them, you have no problem of people's health that are in the country where you might go on your holidays.
Richard, the decisions are taken by planners, Richard, and they're taken by judges who live all over the place. They're not taken by me.
And they just made a ruling today for a person to remove three wind turbines.
Yeah, to leave three up. So the point was, where there was a real impact and where the company hadn't engaged in addressing it for years, which is very bad, they absolutely intervened and shut them down. But that's the first time ever in this country that a court has shut down wind farms, because on the whole,
if the guidelines are upgraded now to the World Health Organization, there's a legal duty of care of every person in this country to look after people in their health, whether it's the council, the planners, and the government, for a duty of care for a person's health.
Yeah. Richard, the World Health Organization
have made their guidelines, and you want to stay as one as the
floor. Well, I just, for what it's worth, this isn't kind of to weigh in on one side or the other, that the state is under no obligation to enact World Health Organization guidance. There's no legal duty for us to do so.
And the World Health Organization is equally clear that climate is a massively impactful health impact. And I don't think the World Health Organization is telling Ireland to change its wind energy guidelines. They are absolutely saying we should look after health and we should. But the evidence that you're suggesting that there's a generalised impact from wind farms is just not there, Richard. I'd like you to cite it if you could, but it's not there.
Wind energy in this country is suitable in locations where it's not an impact on people. Now, you said they left up three wind farms, which is fine if they're not causing an impact to somebody and people that didn't engage. But the problem we've seen here since 2006, they haven't engaged, and there's people around this country that have been impacted by wind farms. And you said it yourself 2 minutes ago that it took too long. But the problem there was money took over and people couldn't fight this. And now it took a case like this to go ahead and for people to see that there is problems where there is existing wind farms at the moment. They have been given to the government when the Green Party were in government and before they were in government, had been given since 2011, and Micheál Martin himself stood up, and he's on Dáil record as saying it, that there's been a problem and an impact for the distance between wind farms and where there is people living.
Richard Fine Gael has been in government since 2011 proposing to update the wind guidelines, and it's a Fianna Fáil minister this time and last time under whose auspices we're supposed to have the guidelines. I agree with you, the guidelines should be finalised and put out for one more consultation and put in so that we have clarity. But I don't agree with you that we should be basically saying no more onshore wind. It is the cheapest form of electricity. And you would be the first person to be on this show saying electricity is too expensive, we've got to reduce it. And you're standing in the way of the thing that will make it the most cheapest and most reliable in future.
This is a debate.
I'm
suspect
not standing in the way until the guidelines are upgraded.
Richard O'Donoghue, Independent TD for Limerick. Richard, it's just a time issue. Listen, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Oisín Coughlan, thank you as well. Former Director of Friends of the Earth.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.